CMN Network.
KD9HAY Mobile.
This is the CMN Network, MI3. CMN Network, 220.
Kilo 9, Bravo, Bravo, Charlie. This is Alpha Delta 9, Echo Alpha, Mobile on 421. I've got a good copy on you, full flight.
CMN Network. MI3.
IDLP at about on HF 12 meters, 24950. Martinique is coming in at 5910 over.
Copy that, Dave. KI90.
Yeah, FM5, Delta November. You heard him in the background. Boom, man, here today.
Did you get a chance to work on him yet?
Oh, yeah, I just got done working him. 5-9 both ways.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and I'm doing this on a QT60, 60-watt tri-band, 10, 11, and 12, on a half-wave ground plane of about 20 foot.
What kind of ground plane is it cut for 12 meters, or are you using like a 10-meter ground plane with a tuner?
No, we cut it for 12.
Oh, good deal. No HF in the mobile here at the moment.
Yeah, I've got one in there for 20 meters, but I don't have it all set up yet. When I got the new truck, weather turned on me before I got it all set up. I got 2 meters in my ICOM in there, but I didn't get the, God, I can't think of it. It's the DX7. DX70.
Okay, that sounds good. Are you using like a ham stick, or what kind of mobile antenna are you using there, Dave?
Just a mag mount, ham stick, 20-meter ham stick. Yeah, it works surprisingly well for the mobile. I'm pleased from the base here. Sequence of events. I got this one last year or so,
when 10 minutes or so meetings still happen. And got this and put this on, made a few contacts on it. But a couple of days ago, I was like 3 hours. Belgium was coming in at 9 to 10 over.
Okay, glad to hear the higher bands are open there. Is 10 meters open also?
I didn't look, I didn't listen. I got this, too many buttons to push and things to change around and everything, so I just leave this one on 12 meters.
Yeah, roger that. Sounds like you're doing pretty well with it there. That's good.
Yeah, I can get 12 meters on my 756 Pro 3, but the amplifier is a U.S. amplifier. It's not the European version. So I don't have the module in there that does 24 through 28. They try to make it 11 meter proof. So I can do 100 watts on it there, but I seem to be doing better on the, that's dedicated to the long wire. I seem to be doing better on this halfway vertical.
Yeah, the verticals are good for DX, that's for sure.
I'm not complaining. So, yeah, I'm trying to sort out all the other, my tower came down. Insurance adjuster came by yesterday, looked at it and said, this is the first. He said, I've never had one come down like this. He said, it split the legs, actually just split and let it, the welds broke, and it just let it fold over. He said it was a clean split. He said there was no corrosion, no rust, no nothing.
Yeah, that's a mess there on your tower. Did the leg split like where the sections fit together?
He's like just above it. Just above that joint at the 20-foot mark.
Oh, wow. Do you think it goes from, maybe from rust or from just from too much stress on it?
No, the adjuster looked at it and he said, no rust, no corrosion, no nothing. He said, it looks pristine. He said, it just snapped. And I had a house bracket at 16 foot, so... Yeah, totally
had
him scratching his head.
Is your insurance going to let you get a replacement power?
Yeah, we're working on it. Yeah, I got to give him a week to 10 days or 2 weeks, come up with an estimate and send me a check. That's how I spend the check. Now they're talking about there's marks in the roof too, so I hope that money for a brand new roof 2 years. I hope that money does not get divided into money that was going to use to replace my antenna system. So we will see. We will see what we will see, I guess.
Okay, hope for the best there. Cover you well on your stuff there. Hopefully you can get another tower going with it or whatever you plan to do.
Yeah, there's a lot of variations. I had 7 antennas on it, including an off-air TV antenna and a couple of little, I had my 6-meter Ringo up there, which I used to work the Valpo repeater a lot. So, and I got other kind of, I got to check the hard line and the coax, any of that stuff got kinked or stretched. So how many of those I'm going to be able to replace. Everything's going to have to be put in a priority order. First the tower, then some HF stuff. Probably, I got an antenna already picked out for the top. 20 variables waiting for me.
Copy
copy that. Now, hopefully it's enough to cover, you know, to cover it, and then we can do what you want to do there again. And you can make some plans for what you want to put back up. And were you able to salvage any of the other antennas there, Dave, or anything salvageable, or everything pretty much damaged and shot?
The long wire still works. The N-FED, non-resident, the 91, that still's working. SWR is higher than what it was in a couple places, but it's laying on the roof now. This is one of the antennas I'm on right now. This is a dual banner. This antenna I'm talking right now on was vertical. It's now horizontal. And the roofing guy comes out and says, "You want that stuff cleaned off the roof, right? We'll get it cut up." No, you will not. I don't need you hacking on my antennas, and I don't need you going up there with a pair of wire cutters cutting my hard line and my LMR and RG8 I got up there.
Yeah, you don't want them cutting any coaxes there. Coax is pretty outrageous anymore in the price per foot.
Yeah, unknowingly, they can do more damage than what they probably did, just cut it up, get it off, throw it in the yard, fix the roof, and call it done, get the out truck, and be down the road. I would have twice the mess as if they weren't even up there.
Yeah, that's probably what would happen for sure. Well, at least it sounds like they're working with you anyways. There's another fellow on in the morning I talked to, Doug, KC9MLN. He had a bit of a fire in one of his homes there, and all states just dropped him.
Well, that sucks. Good insurance company. I can't say, there's nothing I can say worse about Allstate. I am sitting here today with a bad back because of them. I had them on for my company, my business insurance way back in the 80s, and I got hit, and they went from, "Oh, poor baby, poor Dave, we'll get you to all the doctors, no problem, we'll get rid of that back pain. You're the victim," to one day they call up saying, "When did you get hurt?" "The accident, duh." "Well, you're a contractor. This might have happened at work, and you're just using it as a convenient excuse to turn in a claim." So I went from the poor victim person that got hit while sitting at a stoplight to somebody that's being questioned by an insurance fraud.
Yeah, that's terrible. And that was Allstate also?
Yeah, that was Allstate also. You know what the key, the pivotal moment on their when their posture changed?
Well, what was the question again?
Can you guess what the pivotal moment was when their posture changed?
Oh, no.
The guy that hit me also had Allstate.
Oh, wow. So they'd have to cover both. We have to cover both parties then.
Yeah, that's why I never ended up getting my back surgery done. I had to get back, and they totaled my work van, had to get another truck, and walked away with just a couple $100 on the deal.
Yes, I'm glad I don't have Allstate. I just recently switched to, we had American Family. Their rates start going up way too high, so I ended up switching to Farmers Insurance.
I thought they're pretty decent. You're in a shopping dilemma. You want all these large insurance companies to want you, and the bigger the insurance company gets, but you also got to remember, the bigger that insurance company is getting, the odds are somebody, you get involved in an accident with somebody that has the same insurance as you do, is increasing exponentially.
Yeah, that's terrible. It sounds like
it's all a big racket, you know.
It is. I mean, it's literally a double-edged sword. Yeah, I got a big insurance company. That also means they probably, out of 10 cars on the road, they're probably insuring 9 of them. So, who's going to be the guy that hit you, or you can messed up like I did, had a degenerative disc and a herniated disc and that. Well, I've lived with that my whole life, and now it's to the point now I'm walking around with, I look like somebody's got MS or something, which doesn't mean wrong with people that have that, symptom, I can't think of the word I want to use, but, yeah, that should be correct. If that would have been corrected way back then, I'd be 100% mobile.
Yeah, that's terrible what happened like that. They didn't take care of you. I kind of wonder now, you know, say if a tornado came through and ripped the roof off the house, if they would cover it or not.
Well, the judge said I'm 100% covered, but now everybody's trying to get their finger in the pie and get a little bit bigger, a little bit bigger piece, like not a roofer. You know, now the weather's cleared up and it's bright and sunshine, you can see more damage. Well, how they're going to play, you already stated I'm covered. This when we had those winds a month ago on the 9th of January. They were reporting 70 mile an hour gusts, and I swear, when that came through here, it was a Gerosimo or I'm not doing good with my vocabulary today. I think I got straight line wind came through and took me out.
Is that about when the tower came down, when we got those 70 mile per hour gusts?
Yep. I think I found one that was exceeded 70 miles an hour.
Yeah, I kind of remember that. It was really, really windy out there. You can hear it on the outside of the house. As bad as I've ever heard it before.
Yeah, it was not your standards, but my standards. It was early morning, like 9, 10 o'clock, and I heard the wind. I was still in bed, and I heard the kaboom. And I thought it was a tree limb or something. I was just like, I'm gonna clean up when I go outside. A few minutes later, my neighbor called up. She says, "You know, your tower just went down."
Oh man, were you able to disassemble the tower to get it on the ground already, Dave, or is it still kind of hanging up there?
No, I can't touch anything until everybody's done looking. It's 4 foot above the peak of the roof. The tower does a 90 degree, lays right across the peak of the roof, took out my chimney, and it's just laying up there along the peak of the roof, all remaining 20 or 30 feet of it.
I got you. Yeah, I got to wait for all the inspections to take place and get pictures and check all that stuff out, I guess.
Yeah, I just hope the roofing company doesn't come along. I know we just put a roof, he says it's the same, he just put a roof on 2 years ago. I hope he doesn't come back and say, well, now we have to re-roof it. So, that $10,000 you were going to go toward your antennas? Darn, we're going to have to use that to pay for another roof.
Well, hopefully that doesn't happen like that and the roof is still good.
Yeah, that's why I said he said 2 weeks. He'll give me a repair estimate and I have a check in the mail. So, we will see.
Did you have to, like, give them, like, the model numbers of the antennas and the rotor and all the types of coax cable you have? Did you have to break that all, get all the detail out for them on that?
No. I kept asking him if he wanted it. I handed him a list. He says, nope. He says, I got pictures. He says, that's all we need to work with. He says, plus we look at the satellite imagery. Okay. And, well, like the roofer came out today, he says, you got some damage from your satellite dish. I said, no, I don't. Well, that's what they told me to look at. I said, well, you're going to be looking for a while because I don't have a satellite dish. I said, I have ham radio antennas. It's not a satellite dish.
Yeah, kind of strange that they didn't ask for model numbers of antennas and coax cable and, you know, how many feet you had there and everything, because unless they're familiar with all that stuff.
No, just the opposite. He's exceedingly ignorant. I went to call him off and tried to describe something to him. He was here at about noon. He'd still be up there looking for a satellite dish.
Well, that's something there. Well, hopefully I'll take care of you here and get you the right amount you need to get things repaired and back in order there.
Yep, well, keep your fingers crossed, and I'll do likewise. I think the roofing guy, I think when I told him my tower came down and my ham antenna's on it, I bet that girl answering the phone says, what's a ham antenna? Okay, what do I got? I got this antenna, I got this solar panel, I got this. Well, let's see, let's just pick a box. Here's one that looks close. Satellite dish. Yeah, that'll work.
Yeah, sounds like they don't didn't know too much about it at all there.
Yeah, very, very, very little at best.
You gonna be on the net tonight, Thursday?
Oh yeah, definitely. Let me see if I got the receiver. Hold on. Yeah, that's why I was watching a story. They had two trains collided, and the problem was one train was on a siding, and he wasn't far enough off the main line, and the other train came through and clipped it. Well, they wanted to charge it with negligence, and I guess somebody got killed in a homicide out of the negligence and everything about the two trains hitting like that. And they found that, evidently they found that one of the jurors took it upon herself to reverse herself of everything about railroads she could. And when they were deliberating, they came back, and after they got handed down the verdict, she was interviewed. They said, now you're sure? She said, yep, I looked everything up. I had all my facts straight, and from the camera in the cab, you see the two kind of engines coming toward each other, and it's totally this guy's fault. Well, how do you feel? Yeah. Well, they were coming right at each other. He didn't even try to swerve. And that's the intelligence that she influenced all the other jurors to work with to convict the guy.
That's crazy. How's he going to swerve? He's on a railroad track.
Exactly. Yeah, when I heard that, you gave all new meaning to a jury of your peers. They just get anybody up there as jurors. And when you got a specialized topic like electrical or railroad or things like that, the only way you get a fair verdict is if they would have had 12 other engineers up there.
Yeah, I guess the lawyers know how to select the jurors pretty good there. So, you
you know, to get the right people in to win the win for them. They're pretty good at that, I guess.
It's the best. I mean, we have the best legal system money can buy. Yeah, when they came up with that 100 years ago on a jury of your peers, yeah, you were being tried for something, but the jury was all farmers and factory workers and all kinds of stuff like that. But they were your peers. Now, I hear somebody say, well, he didn't even try to swerve when he saw two engines about ready to collide. And he swayed the whole jury because of that stupid, just makes my blood boil.
Were you ever on the jury for a trial of any type, sir? Dave, did you ever get called in?
No, Sue did here about 6 months ago, and then she didn't get selected.
No, it's good. Most of you wanted to go, but sometimes it's interesting. But my wife got called in. Filled out the form, sent it back in, and they put down that she, you know, she can't sit for long periods of time because of her bad knee and everything, and they called her in anyways, and she went in and she told them what was going on, and then they let her go.
Remember, I can't remember the name of the movie, but Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he had the little cute stewardess. I think she was black or African-American or something. And they were chasing bad guys, and the one guy was trying to run him over, and he grabbed him and holding him by his ankles over a wall.
Yeah, it sounds familiar. I forget which movie that is, though.
Yeah, she was in the first car, and they went back and fought. He asked him where someone, I guess he was trying to find his daughter or something. He asked him, what are you doing? The guy said, I don't know nothing. And he said, I'll drop you. And he goes, I don't know. Okay. They're holding her here, or they're doing this. So, thank you. And did just that. He goes back to the car. She says, what did you do with the other guy? He says, I let him go.
Oh, yeah, okay, I remember the movie now, yeah. Yeah, they had kidnapped his daughter or something, and he went after him. He put him on that plane, and he escaped off the plane, and yep, I remember that one well.
Yeah, that line just sort of came in. I let him go.
Hey, sure did. Well, almost home here, Dave. Hopefully Amazon sent me the right washing machine part. I ordered a new drain pump for a washing machine and ended up sending some kind of printer fuser cartridge. And the part number was not even close.
Yeah, I need a pump for my washing machine. What's this, a 3D printer and all its supplies? And a note that says, make it yourself?
Yeah, maybe that's what I was supposed to do. To print the thing out. But, they're going to ship another one that's supposed to come in today. Hopefully they get the right one this time. Opened the box up and I'm like, what the heck is this thing? It's this 120 volt fuser for a printer. And I put it back in the box and started to return. And we dropped it off over at the Cable and Ace Hardware where they got the UPS store. And got that shit back today.
CMN Network.
Okay, well, you're probably getting close to home. I'm going to get you in here real quick. Wait for a couple phone calls. So I guess I'll catch you later, Jim. KA9EW9DLP.
Hi, Dave. Sounds good. Yep, sure. And then the subdivision now. You can catch on the net there tonight. Have a good evening. W9DLP. This is KI90.
Got it. Yeah, I just I thought when I first saw it at this ICOM 2738, and I noticed the mic, it's regular DTMF and mic, but the coil cord between the radio and the mic had an RJ45 at the end of it. And I thought to myself, well, isn't that's a good idea, you know, throw a whole mic away because your mic cord goes to shit. Well, what happened? My mic cord's going to shit. The outer jack is pulling away, and all I got is six conductors, whatever, holding together, so I'm going to have to order a new mic cord, but I don't have to order a whole mic.
Okay, on the wire starting to pull out there, that's not good. Not crimped on there very good or something.
Looking at it, inside the rubber jacket, which is the outside of the coil cord, just tore. I don't know in a base station operation, it's not like I'm swinging it all over the place. The one in my car, and her car, fine. One here, and it has a failure. Yeah, about where the strain relief is, it goes into the connector, about a quarter inch down, it's just the outer jacket just ripped away.
Hopefully you can maybe crimp a new one on there.
Probably could, but I'm not even going to try. I'll go get on eBay and probably $5-6, I'll just order a new cord.
Yeah, sounds good. Might probably be the better way to go there. But, all right, Dave. I'm about pulling the garage here. I'll say 7-3. I think all the snow is gone except for one little tiny little pile by the curb there. And it's all melted. W9DLP, this is KI90.
Talk to you later. Yeah, it was nice. Between people coming by here, I snuck outside and washed my truck real quick. Just get some of that pollen I parked under an oak tree. And some of the salt off of it. It's glistening out there, so nice and pretty. Okay, talk to you later. W9DLP.
W9BRG, you're on the radio there, Dennis. KC90KX, portable report.
This is the CMN Network, MI3.
W9BRG, got your HC on there, Dennis. KC90KX, portable report. Negative contact on W9DRG. This is KC9DKX, portable, report, clear repeater.
And 9INK.
KI9NG, mobile.
CMN Network, 220. CMN Network, MI3. MI3 Network.
KC9CWX.
CMN Network. This is the CMN Network, MI3.
Well, there is going to be a net. I thought N9OKA was doing the net. This is AC9HO. Mike, you there?
I'm here. I'm just waiting for the computer to say it's 7 o'clock.
You missed that about a minute ago. Go ahead, sir.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just got back in here. Unfortunately, I'm doing a net with dishpan hands tonight, so I'm at a disadvantage here. But we'll get through it. CQ, CQ, CQ. Good evening. This is N9OKA. My name is Mike, and I'm calling the LaPorte County Amateur Radio Club net into session. I am located on the east side of LaPorte, and I'll be your net control for this session of the LaPorte County Amateur Radio Club net. Is there any emergency traffic? If so, please call now. Nothing heard. If there is emergency traffic at any time during this net, please jump in by saying emergency, and net control will stop the net and handle the traffic. And to all that are listening, if an emergency is announced, please stop all traffic and let net control handle the emergency. Club call signs are K9JSI and W9LY. Our repeaters are the 146.970, W9LY VHF FM analog, and now all star connected. And also connected to DMR TG31146, the LPC ARC DMR TG located at Schultz Road and Highway 35 north on the 160 concrete tower. The 146.610 K9JSI VHF FM analog is located at the new location at the corner of Johnson Road and 500 West, across from the Summit Farm, and 441.950 W9LY UHF FM analog, C4FM Wires X connected, also located on the tower at Schultz Road and Highway 35 North. This net meets every Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock Central Time, here on the 146.970 repeater, a minus 600 offset with a PL tone of 131.8. We would like to thank the LaPorte County Amateur Radio Club for the use of the repeater at this time. In case of repeater malfunction or disruption, all amateur radio operators are instructed to move to the K9JSI repeater, 146.610, negative offset with a PL of 131.8, and await instruction from net control. If you would like more information about the club or the repeaters, please visit the website lpcarc.org. And before we get into the check-in portion of the net, I thought I'd try something new here on the net. I have a question for those checking into the net this evening. As you check in, let us know your answer. And the question is this. Let me bring it up here real quick. Okay, what is your favorite method of communication to connect with other hams? Do you prefer HF, VHF, UHF, repeaters, or digital? How about FT8? What about satellites? Tell us what your favorite method of communication is this evening, provided you have one. And now we'll get into the check-in portion. If you're interested in seeing the check-ins live during the net, then sign into ham.live and look for the LPC ARC information net. We use this logger to log the check-ins, and there's a live text chat for everyone to use as well. With a live text chat, it is almost like having two nets at the same time. All we ask is that you check into the net via the radio, since getting radioactive is the point of having the net. Ham.live is a browser-based program for net logging and works on all computers or phones with a browser. There is a video on the website to help set up an account. If you need assistance, you can ask on the net and we can try to help. Look forward to seeing you on ham.live. And I'll now turn this portion of the net over to Kurt, AC9HO, for the ham.live check-ins. Good evening, Kurt. Take it away.
Okay, Mike. Well, we got myself, AC9HO, club treasurer. And then you got KD9HAY, KE9BBB. So KD9HAY, Hayden, do you have anything for the net?
KD9HAY, I wasn't prepared for the test. I wouldn't say that I necessarily have a particular favorite mode. I bounce around from things to things depending on certain circumstances and conditions and whatnot. I really just enjoy all aspects of the hobby. But thanks to Mike for running the net tonight, and thanks to you, Kurt, for giving him the hand. But I hope everyone's having a good week and enjoying this warmer weather before it goes away here in a couple days. But other than that, we'll go back to net control and have a good evening. KD9HAY.
Okay, Hayden. Well, thank you for that. And yeah, I kind of agree. I don't know if I have a favorite. I kind of like them all. just to let you know, I'm getting an ID50 probably tomorrow. So looking forward to that. Hayden, you drive careful out there tonight. Have yourself a good evening, good rest of your week. And yes, it warmed up enough. I got the pump in the pool to suck the water off of the cover. So it melted all that ice. Anyway, have a good one. Thanks for checking in. Next, we have KE9BBB. Josh, do you have anything for the net?
Good evening, Kurt and everybody. No, don't really have anything. Don't have anything for the net tonight. Been a little busy, and this first net made in a few weeks, so glad to get back and make this one. Looking forward to HamFest coming up. And Kurt, I'm sure you'll, or someone will say more about it, but I'll be available to help out. So just, I'll get with one of you guys later on. So I'll turn over back to Night Control, KE9BBB.
Okay, Josh, very good. And did you answer? I might have missed it. Did you answer your favorite method of communication that Mike wants to try to get going here on the net?
Oh, no, sorry, I missed that. I just turned on the radio, and I was listening to you and Hayden. So, sorry, Mike, I just literally got on the radio. Favorite mode of, I mean, really, right now, all I do is a single sideband. Still trying to learn a little CW. I kind of got busy with that last winter. I'm picking that back up here. I actually just got a little CW. It's called a HamCube Mini. It's a little practice thing. You can hook up to your gear, and it does it all for, it does set stuff to you. So, but, yeah, basically right now it's just single sideband and some digital modes on VHF, UHF, but that's it right now, and then the repeaters.
Okay, Josh, very good, and thanks for volunteering. Well, that's coming next weekend. So anybody listening, if you want to volunteer at the Ham Fest Friday, Saturday, either day, one day, couple hours a day, you know, each day, whatever you want to do, if you would please email me with the times that you are available. We'll be there Friday from 12 o'clock to, I don't know, maybe even in the evening, you know, 8, 9 o'clock if we have to, if people are there setting up. Of course, we'll have a cutoff time eventually, and then we'll be there Saturday at 5:30 in the morning. So, till cleanup. So the Ham Fest ends at 1, so however long it takes us to clean up, that's how long we'll be there. So, if you would email me at Kurt, that's C-U-R-T, at AC9HO, and give me the times that you will be available, please. Josh, thank you for checking in. Look forward to seeing you next week. We'll all chat next Wednesday before the Ham Fest and iron out anything we need to. Feel free to reach out to me if you need anything or got any questions. But thank you for checking in. Have yourself a good evening and a good rest of your week. We got two more there, Mike, KC9TWX and KA9PGC. So we'll continue on with the ham.live. This is AC9HO, second net control, maybe. Mike's the first net control. KC9TWX, Travis, do you have anything for the net?
KC9TWX. I don't have much going on. I did get my mesh tactic devices working again. It took me a couple of weeks to get the settings correct so the darn things don't go into deep sleep and then they don't wake up. So that was a minute to get that going. And I have to say there is quite a large group in the city of La Porte. They are trying to do all of Northwest Indiana, hook it up with Mestastic, and get a Mestastic node going. If it's something you're interested in, definitely YouTube Mestastic. Look into it. You can email me at kc9twx@yahoo.com or at hotmail.com, either one. And we can get you, you know, if you're interested, we can maybe pique your interest a little more. Small little $30 device, and you can text over Bluetooth, and then it goes over 900 megahertz. It's a pretty interesting concept. Other than that, the only other thing I got is I don't know why it rained dirt last night, but I've never seen that before. It was rather weird. But anyways, we'll give it back to Net Control. This has been KC9TWX.
Okay, Travis, I should have asked this before I let it go to you, but what is your favorite method of communication with ham radio?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what that would be. Probably remote. If you had to guess which one I used the most, it is RC Flarp software and running me remotely. I listen to mid-cars Monday through Friday, at the very least. And I try to get in here on the weekends a little bit and at least try to check in. But Monday through Friday with the work van, I got RC Forbes going with my base here, and it just works wonderfully. As long as you got an internet connection, I don't get to check in, unfortunately, but I do get to listen, and it's quite interesting to hear different stories. As a matter of fact, this morning they were talking about the JFK assassination. And with that, I got alarms going off, so I got to go get my pizza out of the oven. 73 from KC9TWX.
Yeah, we could hear all that going off, so yeah, don't let that pizza burn. Thank you for that, Travis. Yeah, I have to agree. Working remote is quite handy, so I would say his favorite is remote and also FM, FM and single sideband is mostly what he does remote from the sound of it. Thank you, Travis, for that. Have yourself a good evening, good rest of your week, and thanks for checking in. Next we have another one, Mike, KE9ALK is in there. KA9PGC, John, Club Vice President, do you have anything for the net?
Good evening, Kurt, and everybody else out there. I do have useless information for later. Right now I don't have anything to kick around, and other than I did my last physical therapy today, and I'm still trying to put my brain back together. It's been a grueling week so far, but if I didn't have physical therapy today, I would have been riding that bicycle after work, you know. But yeah, useless information for later. Yeah, back to you there, Kurt, KE9PGC.
Okay, just a reminder for everybody, Mike is actually net control tonight. I am just doing the ham.live check-ins, and I keep forgetting to ask. Mike wants to ask everybody a question as they check in, so John, this is to you. What is your favorite method of communication in ham radio? Method or mode? Either one.
Tell a woman.
Say what?
I'll repeat it, but, hopefully there is another listener out there among our usuals, and partly aimed towards her, but that's another story altogether. Anyway, the method I like the most is basically, sideband voice, low band. The lower the better. So at right now the favorite is 160 meters. So that gives you probably a little more information than you need to answer the question.
Oh, there's no such thing as too much information. That's I think he's doing this to get the communication rolling. So, all right, John. Well, thank you for that. And 160 on single sideband. I don't think anybody on the net was surprised that single sideband was your favorite. All right, John, we look forward, or at least I do. I look forward to the useless information, so we will get back with you later in the net whenever Mike says it's time. So thank you for checking in. Have a good evening, good rest of your week, and we'll come back to you. Next and last on the ham.live list is KE9ALK. Thomas, do you have anything for the net?
Greetings, Kurt, and greetings, Mike, and everyone else out there. No, nothing specific for the net. Just been enjoying the weather and trying to catch up on everything in life.
Oh, yeah. Yep, totally understand that. And I did it again with you. I'll get it one of these days. What is your favorite method or mode of communication in ham radio?
Well, right now it's just 2 meter radio to radio. The simple, short form, I guess some people would call it. But that's all I can afford right now, so. Yeah, that's it. KE9ALK.
All right, Thomas. Yeah, totally understand that. It took me, I was a ham radio, started in 94. And I didn't get my first HF radio until, 2012, somewhere in there, maybe a little earlier, 2007-ish. No, wasn't then. It was probably closer to 2012, so, yeah. Totally get it. Sometimes it just doesn't work out for you, and eventually it will. That's something to come right your way, fall right in your lap, and boom, there you are. You never know. Maybe you need to talk to me a little bit. There might be a radio I can let you use for a while. I got a few. Because ever since 2012, it's been nonstop. All right, Thomas. Thank you for checking in. Have yourself a good evening and good rest of your week. All right. And 9OKA. That is it for the ham.live currently. So I'm going to hand it back to you. This is AC9HO. Back to net control.
Okay, thanks, Kurt. And those that checked in on ham.live, 7-3's to you. Thanks for checking in. Taking part in our little questionnaire survey thing here, whatever you want to call it. But I'll mention all licensed amateur radio operators are invited to check into this net. This is a directed net. Please give me your call sign, name, and location when checking in. When I acknowledge each station, I will ask if they have anything for the net, including my question of the evening. Anything for the net can be any topic or question or the radio antenna you are currently operating. If you wish to make additional comments or connect with another check-in during the net, you can do so by saying comment or question with your call sign and wait for net control. Again, if you wish to make an additional comment, I need to work with both hands here moving this computer screen up and down. Okay, for the check-in portion of that, I will ask for club officer check-ins first, followed by short time or mobile stations. After that, I will ask for general check-ins for the remainder of the net. And then at the end of the net, I'll be asking for anybody wishing to sell, trade, donate, or looking for any amateur radio-related items on the swap and shop session. I will now take check-ins from any current club officers. And we've already had two check-ins, so let's see if we get any more here.
CMN Network, 220.
Okay, well, hearing nothing, I'll take check-ins from mobile or short-time stations. Please call net control now.
This is Kilo Echo 9 Delta Quebec Sierra KE9DQS. Todd in Northeast Morgan County. Just southwest of Indy, a short time, no traffic.
Okay, Tom. Would you like to comment on our question of the evening? What's your favorite method or mode of communication with other ham stations?
Yeah, K9DQS. I haven't been a ham too awful long since about July of this past year. I've really gotten into the internet-based modes like All-Star, Echolink, DMR hotspots. That's probably been the one I've been the most active in. I do like just regular 2-meter over the air as well, but I'm looking to get into HF here sooner than later. But, yeah, I guess mostly the internet modes. Right now.
Roger. Well, welcome to the hobby. it comes with time. You'll get more equipment and that and expand the horizons. But 7-3 to you, Tom. Thanks for checking in. K9DQS. Do we have any other mobile or short-time stations? Please call now.
Net control, AC 9HO.
Question.
probably want to try it again.
Kilo Alpha Niner, Delta Lima Mike, KA9TLM, Keith from Wheeler. No traffic for the net, however, sir, your question. Just simple 2 meter and 70 centimeter analog. Dabbling a little bit into DMR, got to do a little bit more with the hotspot and all that jazz. So, as time comes and I learn more, I find mine arriving. Back to you, net control.
Okay, I hope I got your call right, K9DLM, Keith.
You are correct, sir.
Okay, 7-3, it's Keith. Thanks for joining that tonight. We had another station that came in there with you. Try it again, station.
Net control, this is Alpha Delta 9 Echo Alpha 89EA. The name is also Keith, located Porter County. I'm doing HF single sideband and FM 2 meter 70 centimeters, because that's what I have. Just commenting about today, did a POTA 10 meters, was about to hang it up. The last guy called me was from Brazil, so kind of made my day. Looking forward to the Ham Fest, see everybody there. And going to have to be short time tonight. Thanks, Mike, for doing the net. 7-3, back to net.
7-3, Keith. Hope I got your call right, 1898. But, oh man, that's awesome, making a contact to Brazil. That, as far as my favorites go, no matter what mode or whatever method, I like talking across the pond. I like over talking overseas and whatnot, so. But yeah, 7-3 is Kink. Thanks for checking in. And we'll now take more check-ins.
DLP. Net control recognized. Whiskey 9, Delta, Lima, Papa.
W9DLP, good evening. What do you have for the net this evening?
Well, other than the fact I'm sitting here frustrated, because I've been all day long, I've been arguing with insurance adjusters and roofers and plumbers from when my tower came down. Other than that, also log KB9BSK, she's listening from the other room. For the question, favorite form of amateur would be anything phone, anything with a mic.
I did have one part of that question that I haven't heard anybody mention it yet, and that's satellites. I wonder how many of us work satellites or enjoy doing that. But, man, I'm sorry to hear your tower came down and did damage to your home and that. I can happily sympathize with you and dealing with insurance companies especially, but my goodness, did you have anything else for the net there, Dave?
Not right now, Mike. I will comment on the insurance adjuster made while I went up there. He said he's never seen anything like it before. The legs on the tower actually split, and it folded over about a foot or so above the joint, and there was absolutely zero rust and zero corrosion. So why it did it, I think I got hit by a straight line winds when we had those 70-mile-an-hour winds. And I don't think anything, the way it was hit, I don't think anything would have stood. So, okay, with that, back to net control, W9DLP.
Well, 7-3s, I wish you the best there in getting all that straightened up. But we'll now take more general check-ins. Please call now.
This is November 9, Yankee Oscar Uniform, Brian and South Bend. Kilo India, 9 Echo, Jim in LaPorte.
Okay, we have two more check-ins here. First of all, we have N9YOU, Brian. Good evening, Brian. How you doing?
Oh, not too bad, Mike. And usually you're doing a good job, too, running the net. Good job. And don't have really too much. Just been a nice day today, and expect we might get a decent day tomorrow with storms maybe. But other than that, it's gonna be a nice couple of days. Then we go back to 30s, but at least hopefully it won't be the deep freeze. But now I just can't wait till next Saturday for the Ham Fest to see everybody, and hopefully you'll be there too, Mike. Hopefully. But yeah, I don't think I really got anything else, but back to you, Mike, and I'm YOU.
Well, I got to ask you, what's your favorite method or mode of communications with other ham radio operators? I got a good idea what it is.
Well, it's phone, but I guess sideband and probably FM, but yeah, mainly phone.
Well, I know that you were one of them that got me going on Make Dude 20 Great Again. That's why I thought I'd throw that in there.
Oh, yeah, and also All-Star, too, because I'm coming through, through 220 and South Bend through All-Star. So, it's definitely nice.
I got to learn to do that someday. It really sounds interesting. 7-3, Steve Bryan, and again, thanks for checking into the net. Next, we have Jim, KI9E. Good evening, Jim. How you doing?
Hey, good evening, Mike. Sounding good out there on the net tonight. Favorite mode of communication would probably be, let's say, equal parts of CW, phone, and FT8 on HF bands, and then for VHF, UHF, FM here on the repeaters and stuff. That'd be about the main modes there, but I did find something kind of interesting on page 17 of the latest QST magazine. There's actually a commercially available antenna for the 630 meter band available. Page 17 of the latest QST magazine is called the Lowdown, and it covers 472 to 479 kilohertz. It's about 24 foot tall, and it's HOA friendly and transportable, and a little pricey, but I imagine maybe more designs will be coming out here sometime soon. But I thought that was kind of interesting to see a 630 meter antenna you can buy now. Back to you, Mike, KI90.
The list never ends, does it? There's always more toys to buy, more stuff for the to-do list or the wish list. But you brought CW up. I wonder how many still work CW. And if there's an effort out there to make CW great again, like 220, I learned it back in the 90s and then forgot it. Shame on me. I need to get back into learning it again. So I wouldn't mind messing around with CW myself. But again, 7-3 stage, Jim, thanks for checking in. Are there any other check-ins for the net? Please call now. Show, Charlie 9, November, Alpha Papa, Casey 98, Jeff, North Liberty. Good job, Mike. I missed one in there to come in with M9RKY. I think he said he was from Monterey. I got to Monterey, I didn't get your call. Did you get that, Kurt? I got Alpha Delta 9.
Yep, you got that right. Alpha Delta 9, Golf Yankee. A little bit noisy into the repeater tonight, Mike. Alpha Delta 9, Golf Yankee. Go ahead, N9OKA, net control.
Okay, are there any other check-ins at this time for the net? Okay, nothing heard. We'll get back to the list here. And next in line, we have N9RKY. I hope I got that call right. Go ahead.
Good evening here, Mike. Yeah, you're sounding really good in the station. You're doing a fine job on the net. Sounding really good. I just wanted to let you know that I didn't win the ARL Dream Station on February 13th. I was hoping to win. Had the ICOM 7760, the ICOM amp, and the desk mic with the Seiko watch, the 60th anniversary watch. Nope, wasn't me. I tried. I was hoping. Anyway, with that, my favorite mode is, or my favorite ham radio way of thing I do is I like voice contacts and mostly at the ham radio club, but other than being that direct contact, I do like SSP the most and FM's next on the list. I'm on a Kenwood TM732A dual bender, and I'm on the south end of LaPorte County, and that's all I have. Name here is Todd. Tango, Oscar, Delta, Delta, and this the call is November 9, Romeo, Kilo, Yankee. Thank you, and take care. You're doing a great job. 7-3.
Well, you have my condolences there that you didn't win. Man, maybe next time. 7-3, Steve Todd. Thanks for checking in. Next, we have KC9NAP. How you doing this evening? Is it Jerry?
No, this is Jeff. Jerry died years ago. Okay, yeah, man. I don't think I heard anybody. I've been watching TV and listening at the same time, but got a couple of old AM transmitters. I like AM, and mostly talk FM. I don't want to have to go out in my garage and talk on anything else. But doing a nice job there, too, Mike. Just wanted to let you know that. This is Jeff, Mike. Hey, Mike, I've talked to you 100 times. Juliet, Echo, Foxtrot, Foxtrot. Over.
Over, Jeff. Man, I apologize. I not only butcher call signs, I get names screwed up, too. I don't know why I keep... I've called you Jerry before in the past. Sorry about that. I do apologize, Jeff. And it's good hearing you checking into the net this evening. And we're hear from you again sometime. 7-3s. Next on the list is 8D9GY. Go ahead, Mike.
Antenna is definitely going up on that tower when it gets a little warmer. I was out there measuring today. So far, this is my favorite radio. It's FM phone, and that's it. And I saw the dirt ring, too. Yeah, that was great.
Well, something rained all over my car that left it with measles or something. I got spots all over my car. I don't know what in the world happened there, but I appreciate you checking in there tonight, Mike. I was going to say that probably the main thing that brought me into this hobby was FM phone and repeaters. I just love FM. So
wife, baby. That's why I went from 11 meters to ham radio. So, but 73 Steve Mike, 89GY. And are there any more check-ins for the net? Any more general check-ins? Go ahead. N9BSN, go ahead. 73, so how are you doing this evening?
Hello, sir. Pretty well. Dash hang. I'm located over here next to the fire. And, I understand it's Ken Osborne's birthday today. So, wanted to wish him a happy birthday. And, no traffic over here, and well, hope you're enjoying the nice weather, and back over to you, and I think it's on.
I had a little bit of trouble copying the first half of that. What's your name again?
Yes, sir. My name is Paul Warner, last name. And my friend works here. Does this seem to help any?
Okay, Paul. Well, thank you for checking into the net this evening. We do have a question out here. What's your favorite mode or method of communication with ham radio? Do you have one?
Well, back in the 90s, I passed the 5-word-a-minute, it's called the Tech Plus license, and I did upgrade to, I guess, some of the general class privileges, and I did purchase an old, I think it was a Nightmare 2 radio, and then I kind of went through an upheaval with a nasty divorce. I kind of had to leave some things behind. And anyhow, right now 2 meter is all I've got. We have UHF capabilities. I just have never explored it yet. And I'm just a...
Roger. Once upon a time, I started out in no-code tech. And then I picked up the 5 words a minute and got Tech Plus. So, those were the days. I remember that late '90s or mid '90s. So, well, good luck, Tim. We're glad you're back in the hobby again. And get out here more often on the net. N9BSM, 73s. Are there any other check-ins for the net? Okay, we'll take general check-ins later on. For now, we'll get into the information part of the net. I will now give out information on area ham activities, starting with area nets. First of all, there's Aries District 1, serving Lake Porter, LaPorte, Jasper, and Newton. The Aries District 1 net is every Tuesday at 7 o'clock on the N9IAA repeater, with a frequency of 146.685 and a PL tone of 173.8. There's also a net for GMRS Weissen stations every third Tuesday of the month at 7 p.m. Central on the Valpo 1 repeater, 462.700, plus offset with a 141.3 PL tone. And, I don't know if Kurt would know anything about this, if it's still going on or not, but we had an Aries information training net every Thursday at 8 p.m. on the K9 GSI repeater, and I had attended the first 3 or 4 nets, and I haven't since. I don't know if it's still going or not. AC9HO, N9OKA, do you know, Kurt, if that net's still going?
Unfortunately, Mike, no, I do not know. I keep falling asleep
on Thursdays by 8 o'clock for some reason. So I have not heard it. I usually have the radio on, so sometimes I wake up just enough to hear voices, or maybe I hear voices all the time. But anyway, so no, I do not know if it's still going. Sorry. AC9HO back to net control.
Okay, well, he was giving out some interesting information there about Aries, and unfortunately, I haven't been out there for the net either myself. Okay, next we're moving on to the LaPorte County Early Warning Siren Testing Net, which is the first Saturday of every month on this frequency, 146.970, W9LY repeater, beginning at 11 a.m., and please check in with net control operator W9DLP Dave 30 minutes before the testing begins, say about 10:30, for updated location requirements. Then we have the Michigan Amateur Radio Club, or MARC, holds the weekly on-air net on the K9DEW repeater at 147.330 plus with a 131 APL. The net provides the weekly opportunity for club contact, and there's no better way to hone your listening and operating skills than to take part in the MARC Wednesday Night Net, M-A-R-C, every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, on the K9DEW repeater, 147.330, plus with the 131.8PL. If the K9DEW repeater is down, the net will be held on the W9AGX repeater, which is 147.398, plus with the 131.8PL. Next, we have the Fulton County Skywarn Net, every Monday at 6 p.m. Central on the K9RCR 442.700, plus offset 131.8 PL tone. And White County Amateur Radio Society Wednesday Night Net, every Wednesday at 8 p.m., again that's Eastern Time, on the KC9PQA repeater of 147.255 plus with an offset of 131.8 PL. Frequency coordination net every Friday starts at 7:30 Central Time on the GMRS Valpo 1 repeater, which is 462.700. And of course, our LaPorte County Amateur Radio Club net meets every Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock on this repeater. The net will be an information net, and everybody is welcome to participate. Okay, at this time, Kurt, if you would announce our HamFest coming up here, and again, I'm wondering if there's someone that I can get in touch with. My daughter wants to help with concessions, but she has a couple of questions and wanted to get a hold of somebody.
Okay, Mike. Yeah, that would probably be me or Rich. So I don't know if you have Rich's phone number. I imagine you can give her his phone number, or mine. Mine is on the flyer. So, but LaPorte County Cabin Fever Hamfest is coming up. We've got one more week to go. February 28th, 2026, 7 a.m. to 1 p.m., LaPorte County Fairgrounds. The address is the 2581 Indiana State Road 2, LaPorte, 46350. $8 entry fee. Talk-in is this repeater, 146970, and the 146.610, both of them with a 131.8 PL tone and a negative offset. And then also, the GMRS LaPorte repeater, 442.675, will be monitored as well for anybody that's on
GMRS. If you have, we are still taking table reservations, so we have plenty to go. As a matter of fact, we're renting the second building, so we have plenty of room. Anybody that needs tables, feel free. Get them in there now. Come to the Hamfest that day. We'll sell tables that day, too. For more information, you can go to the website, or you can email cabinfeverhamfest, all one word, at gmail.com. The Cabin Fever Hamfest is sponsored by the LaPorte County Amateur Radio Club, and we look forward to seeing you all there. Back to net control. This is AC9 Eagle.
Okay, Kurt. I'm glad you handled that. did you say Rich's phone number is on the poster of the flyer?
My number is on the flyer.
Okay. Yeah, my daughter, she said she'd be more than happy to help with concessions. She did have a couple of questions, like if we're going to start serving food right away at opening at 7 in the morning, and a few questions along that, those lines. So she wanted to talk to somebody about that.
Okay, very good. Yeah, we have also Chris. Oh, I can't remember his call sign off the top of my head. Darn it. And I don't have it written down here in front of me. But anyway, he was at the club meeting, and I work with him as well. But he's going to be volunteering for that and also bringing in some teenagers that do volunteer work and get some sort of credits for it. He could explain that better than I can. As long as we sign off on their sheet or whatever saying that they volunteered X amount of hours or whatever, and we're like, yeah, we could definitely do that. So they have to volunteer for nonprofit organizations like ours, you know, 501c3s and whatnot. So we're going to have quite a few people, I think, in concessions, but we'll take as many as we can get, especially with the expertise. So she can give me a call. If you're ready to write my number down, I can give you my number, because I see it's not on the flyer that's on the website. But if you go to, Hamfest, Cabin Fever Hamfest 2026, my number is at the bottom there, phone number, leave a message or text. So, it's 219-575-0773.
CMN Network, MI3.
Okay, all right. I'm definitely, and I know we're all looking forward to the Hamfest, and hopefully it'll run smooth, no problems, getting the volunteers and plan ahead and whatnot. Things should go real smooth there. And, of course, we all are liking our new location as opposed to the Civic, so that's a plus. So, we can't wait for the Hamfest to start here. Now, next we have club meeting and club news. The LaPorte County Amateur Radio Club meets the second Monday of every month at the LaPorte Seventh-day Adventist Church at 7 p.m. Central Time at 1480 Boyd Boulevard in LaPorte, Indiana. The next LaPorte County Amateur Radio Club meeting will be, is it March 9th, I think?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, good. I need to double check that before I do this again. Membership is not required to sit in on a meeting. You do not have to be a member to attend. If you do attend the meetings, though, you are encouraged to stay and learn a few radio tips and tricks during our meeting presentations. We're always looking for hams to give presentations of radio tips and tricks during our meetings. If you feel you have a subject of interest to share in a meeting, please contact Rich, KC9DJP. And we would also like to announce that membership can now be paid online via the website. Just go to lpcarc.org, and on the left side of the homepage, click Club Membership. Then when the next page appears, you will see in the center of the page membership form to fill out for our records.
Comment.
Yeah, comment. Go ahead.
SAC9HL, I want to make a comment to the membership pay online feature on the website. We are now using Square to accept those payments. It's no longer, well, we still have Clover active and PNC Bank and all that fun stuff, but Square seems to fit us better. But the membership form, you can go ahead and fill that out if you like. We'll take it. But also on that Square, it does ask you for the minimum information that I require, and that's your call sign, your email address, and your name, of course. That Square has all that information on there. So if you at least fill all that out on when you make your payment, that will work as well. But if you want to send us more information with the membership form, please feel free to do so. Don't want to say you can't do that. And then also, we added a donation link for anybody that has any reason they don't want to be a member, but they like the repeaters, they like the net, they like the things we're doing, and you just want to donate. We are a 501c3, so you can write it off on your taxes and all that. The number is on the website, and as a matter of fact, it's even on the pay now. When you click on it, the 501c3 number is on there. So feel free to do that. But if you just want to donate and don't want to be a member, that's fine. That's great. Any donation helps keeps all this fun stuff running. So just wanted to mention that. Thank you, Mike. Back to Net Control, AC9HO.
Well, it was perfect timing when you jumped in there. I'm glad you did. I'll have to get that information from you so I can update this for the next time I do this. But back to the news here. Come to our club breakfast at 8 a.m. the first Saturday of each month at the Sugar Bowl Restaurant, 402 West US 20 in Michigan City. Also, another club breakfast every Thursday at 8 a.m. at Mama T's Diner, located at 607 Lincoln Way in LaPorte. And Michigan City EMA is accepting applications. Go to the Michigan City Police Station lobby, and when filled out, turn it in with the attention, Captain Jesse. And I'm going to take a break here for a second because I myself have a question about this Michigan City EMA. What are we applying for when we fill out an application? What are we getting ourselves into here? Either Kurt or Dave can tell us.
No, let's not talk at once. You want to, Kurt, or you want me to take it?
Well, Dave, since you're part of the EMA, I mean, all I can say is the basics. Maybe there's a little more you can add, but if you're busy, it doesn't matter to me. If you want to take it, go right ahead.
I'll start out. If I leave anything, I'll jump in. Okay, EMA, Emergency Management Associates, we are part of the police department, and we're part of the traffic. We're a line item on their operating budget. What I always, people ask what we do, we're second responders. We're activated. It could be a snowstorm. It could be a warehouse fire or something. They call us out. And last one I remember was a warehouse fire over on, they had government shipping to it with a possibility of having munitions in it. So when we show up to the scene, they just tell them we want a 2-block perimeter, lock it down. And we can work with incident command, with the intersections and such. To if you live in that area, not being evacuated, it depends on the situation, but we make it possible for the first responders to do what they got to do. And if they need help, like a situation on Mount Foley, right? A few years ago, when a boy got swallowed by a tree in the sand, we didn't do the rescue, but we ran the ETVs up and down Mount Foley, bringing in fresh people and bringing in tools and stuff like that. We use our main form of communication is VHF, public service, and we all have 800 meg radios. What did I leave out, Kurt?
Well, I think you pretty well covered it. It's basically just a volunteer program. If you want to go out and be a part of any emergencies that happen in the area or traffic control, don't you guys even do stuff with the fair or something? Oh, no, the parade, I think, in Michigan City, right?
Oh, yeah, we do the parade. We're your favorite people you love when we shut down intersections. So when we're a parade or an event, we do all the traffic control. There's an overnight event like the Shelf Ice Brew Fest coming up. We do overnight security. It's a nice feeling. When we were working a 5K run once, and we were out on the Liberty Trail in 12, and the police officer come by in a squad car and said, "Oh, you guys are working this?" He said, "Yep." "Well, you don't need me then. Call me on the radio if you need backup." You know, it's just like they are very willing and receptive of our presence. Any questions? This is W9DLP.
Yeah, if there's any questions about the Michigan CEMA, Dave's the man to talk to. So I'll give it a second here to see if anybody's got a question for him. Okay, well, I appreciate that, Dave. Thank you for giving us that information. I keep hearing about this, but I didn't have all the information, what it's all about and everything. So thanks for the explanation there. And also, I wonder if N9YOU, Brian, are you still out here?
Yeah, Mike, go ahead.
Well, this is a part of the net here where we talk about the POTA at the Potato Creek State Park every Saturday. You're affiliated with that, aren't you?
Yes, Mike, there I am. And, we're not having it right now since, the weather. But, when it starts getting nice and staying nice, we'll have it.
Okay. Well, it's been gorgeous out the last couple of days. That's why I wanted to double check, just make sure with you whether it's go or no go. And at this time, we'll ask for Tom's Corner. Tom, you have anything? N9OKA.
Tom hasn't checked in tonight there, Mike.
I'm looking at the wrong Tom. Sorry about that. Okay. Well, then we got John's useless information. Go ahead there, John.
Oh, hopefully he didn't fall asleep. KA9PGC.
KA9PGC, out there, John. Oh, boy. I fell asleep. Okay, well, next we have weather at a glance. And, let's see. Well, first I'll see if there are any more check-ins or not.
N9ROM.
KC9TEL.
P-A-R, Indianapolis.
Could you come back with the call again, Indianapolis?
Whiskey Bravo 9, Papa Alpha Radio.
I got Whiskey Bravo 9, Papa Radio.
Papa Alpha Radio.
Okay, got you down here. Appreciate that. Are there any more check-ins?
N9ROM.
Okay, I had you down there. Okay, well, we'll go ahead and start with you then, N9ROM. How are you doing this evening? What do you have for the net?
Good evening, Mike, and everybody else out there. I'm running a little bit late, but I was able to listen here for a while. Just kind of waiting to see if John was going to get in or somebody else, but nothing for the net. Just enjoying this warm day that we had, and hope everybody else is doing the same. So, with that said, this is N9ROM, Bob in LaPorte. Back to you, Mike, on the net.
We're doing something new here tonight, Bob. We got a question, the question of the day. What's your favorite motor means of communication with ham radio? You prefer HF or VHF, UHF, WireZX? What do you prefer, if any?
Well, right now I just got my dual band HT, and just recently I put my Kenwood dual band in the car. I'm not in the car as much. Eventually, I like to get something in that old 55 of mine to see if what kind of a ground plane effect it'll have on the dual band on that.
An old 55, huh? Boy, does that bring back memories. Does that car have 6 volt or 12 volt in it?
Well, it used to have 6 volt, but I ended up converting everything over to 12 volt. It was getting a little bit too difficult anytime a light bulb goes out or whatever. But, yeah, it kind of puts you back in time, very simple. None of this, all the fancy stuff in the car. So, it's enjoyable. It's still sleeping right now, so it's in its bird's nest.
I love it. I love them old 50s cars. But what I used to have to do was put a 12-volt battery in the trunk, put a battery box back there, and run a wire up to the dash for an 8-track tape player. But we're glad you checked in tonight, Bob, 73s. And next we have KC9DEL. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's Kilo Charlie 9 Tango Echo Lima, KC9. Yeah, we're enjoying the weather, obviously. You guys have a really good net going on, and always appreciate listening out there. Looking forward to getting up to LaPorte Hamfest next weekend, I think it is, if I'm guessing my calendar right. I could be wrong. But anyway, when you guys have it, I'll be up there for that one for sure. Now, mode of communication, 90% of the time I am on 2-meter. I'm just a tech at this point, probably at some point changing up to general, but I don't have any time to sit home and do any HF stuff, so I'm just out running around all the time. So it's just my mode of entry, that's what I do. But and I take care of a couple of repeaters with the guys. So, you know, it's interesting to be out there and see it all. That's all I can say. But another reminder was up there. I'm going to come up and reminder of the Hamfest in Elkhart, East Hamfest on August 1st this year, and trying to keep that one going as well, and bring your stuff you don't need and bring it down, or you can get new down there. So that's about all I got. And great job, guys. KC9TEL.
And we appreciate you checking into the net this evening. And I can definitely relate to what you're talking about. I started out as a no-code tech and got into the hobby because of FM. I just loved it. I loved talking on FM. And, of course, I went on and upgraded a little after that, but I had the time to do it. So if there's a time constraint, that's a problem. So, but 73s, next on the list, we have WB9PAR. Go ahead.
Yeah, good evening to the net. This is WBIPAR. Really didn't have anything. Got out in the yard a little bit today and fixed some patio lights that were... I don't know if the heating from the warm and cold got to the wiring or what, but got that all knocked out. Other than that, just playing around with All-Star this evening, so that's how I'm coming to you. Not much else to say. I'll hand it back to the net. WB9PAR.
We're asking a question this evening. What is your favorite method or mode of communication with AM radio and speaking with other AMs out there? Do you have a favorite?
Oh, I've always enjoyed VHF and particularly FM. Been doing that since, 1980.
I gotta agree with you there. That's my favorite FM. Okay, well, 7-3, thanks for checking in on the net. Where'd you say your QTH was?
I'm actually located in a little town north and east of Indianapolis, about 20-some miles, in a town called Forkville, Indiana. But it's easier for everyone just to say Indianapolis.
Hey, Roger. Kind of like the big city of LaPorte. But, hey, we appreciate you stopping in there tonight on our net. And conditions or whatever is evidently good because you're just sounding great into the repeater tonight. So, 7-3s, and join us again next time on the net. Okay, are there any other check-ins at this time? Call now. Okay, hearing nothing, I'll do weather at a glance. Tonight, it's calling for increasing clouds with a low around 40. Yeah, boy, we're having a heat wave. South wind 5 to 10 mile an hour. Thursday, a 30% chance of rain, mainly after 3 o'clock, mainly after we all get our cars washed. Mostly cloudy, mostly cloudy with a high near 59, mercy. Southeast and southeast wind 5 to 10 mile an hour. Thursday night, rain and possibly a thunderstorm before midnight. Then a chance of rain, low around 37. Southeast wind 10 to 15 miles an hour, becoming southwest after midnight. Winds could gust as high as 30 miles an hour. Chance of precipitation is 80%. I'm not liking the sound of that wind. I got an antenna on my roof that's bent over at 2 o'clock. I hope the wind doesn't get a hold of it anymore. Let's see, Friday again, a chance of rain mixing with snow after 9 a.m. Then gradually ending, mostly cloudy with a high near 45. West wind 15 to 20 mile an hour, with gusts as high as 35. Oh, man. I'm praying for my antenna up there. Chance of precipitation is 30%. Friday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 28. West winds 5 to 15 mile an hour, with gusts as high as 20. And then partly sunny with a high near 36 on Saturday. Yeah, I think I'll just leave it at that then. And see if there are any more check-ins for the net.
Comment.
Yeah, go ahead, comment.
Okay, net control, this is AC9HO. Don't forget to call for John again. He may be back. But I did want to mention, because it was asked in the ham.live chat, the Wires X repeater is a very sore subject of mine at the moment. I cannot get Yezu to call me back, email me back, even acknowledge my existence
at this time. So now that said, I can only call maybe once or twice a day because, you know, I work almost 10 hours a day and 6 days a week, most weeks, not 10 hours on Saturday, but still 6 days a week. And they're not open on the weekends anyway. But, so I'm continuing to call them every single day, leave them at least one message every day, and just started emailing them this week every day. So I hope to hear something soon. I still have no quote, no official what is wrong with the repeater. Absolutely nothing. So as soon as I know, I will announce it or send an email, something. I'll keep everybody updated as soon as I get new information. So that is all I have. Back to net control, AC9HO.
Well, having two gays new radios over here and them staring at, I hope that isn't standard practice. I might need them to work on my radio someday, and I'm not impressed so far with how they're treating the club. So, but, yeah, we hope to hear from them. We've got to hear from them pretty soon here. That other deal hinges on it, whether we're going to buy a new one or not. So, let's see. Well, now, call for John and his useless information. You out there, Casey? Oh, boy, I forgot his call sign. Are you out there, John?
MI3 Network.
Okay, I don't know if John's not at all on us or not here.
KA9PGC, John, you listening? Well, the way I see it, if anybody falls asleep through the net, that means they need it. This is just too interesting of a net to fall asleep through. So he must be very, very tired. Go ahead, Mike. AC9HO.
Yeah, I had a rag chew there with John last night when I was driving home, and there Danny told me he had to be up at 4 o'clock this morning to go back to work, so if he's been up since 4, that may be why he nodded off. So, we'll try again here before that's over and see if we can get a hold of him. But we'll now open the swap and shop session. Are there any stations with amateur radio-related items for sale? Wanted, loan, borrow? The swap and shop session is now open. Please call Net Control now.
Bring it to the Ham Fest. We have tables.
I like your way of thinking there.
We're only a week out.
Okay, well, let's see, are there any more check-ins or any questions, comments, anything at all that concerning our question of the night? Did everybody get their likes in and their comments in? Okay, well, we'll ask one final time here for check-ins and then conclude the net if there's no more check-ins.
KI9E, comment.
Yeah, go ahead, Jim. KI9E.
Hey, Mike, I just remembered I forgot to mention where we're at on the Dayton Hamvention countdown timer. We are now 12 weeks, 3 days, 10 hours, and 36 minutes away from the Dayton Hamvention, which would be Friday, May 15th, Saturday, May 16th, and Sunday, May 17th. So we're getting closer. KI90, back to you, Mike.
Well, thank you. We ought to write this down, Kurt, and keep Jim. Jim can keep us posted on this every Wednesday. During our net, we can have Jim come in here and keep us up to date on Hamfest.
on Dayton there. So, well, is there any other questions or comments or anything at all during this time? Okay, hearing nothing, one last call for general check-ins. Hearing nothing, this concludes this session of the LaPorte County Amateur Radio Club Net. I'd like to thank all amateur radio operators that checked into the net this evening. And, do you have a final count there, Kurt?
Yes, we had 20 check-ins, and also don't forget about John.
K9PGC, N9OKA, out there, John? Well, if he wasn't joking, telling me he'd be up at 4 in the morning, I couldn't see why he nodded off, but, I believe that will conclude this session of the LaPorte County Amateur Radio Club Net. Again, thanks to all the radio amateur radio operators that checked in this evening. And I will now return the repeater back to normal general amateur use. This is Mike, N9OKA, Net Control. Clear it. I have 8:24 p.m. Have a 7-3s and have a good evening.
Have a good one, Mike. Excellent job. Easy night, Mitchell.
Well, I like that you had my back there. my mind's not clear right now since I quit smoking.
Somebody doubled with you. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's a good net, guys. W9DLP73.
Yeah, I kind of like the tag team kind of net. It works out really well. We got a, and it's good that you quit smoking, Mike, and totally understand. I don't have an excuse except for maybe a little too much moonshine or whiskey, but at least you got an excuse. But we do got to look into maybe before the next time you run one, look into that ham.live. There's a pretty good video on their website that'll help you set it up, and it is free. It's just kind of a little bit of a pain in the butt to sign in every week because you don't put in a password. You basically click sign in or start net or something like that, and it sends you an email, and you click the link, and that's how you get signed in. So it's one password you don't have to remember, so that's nice. And the only reason I say it'd be nice if you had that, not so that you can keep track of the, so that you can log. I'll still log, but at least you'll be able to see them, their call sign and their name on the screen.
I'll put that on my to-do list and see what I can find out. I'm enjoying YouTube again. Somebody told me about adblocker.com. I forgot what you call it now. It's an add-on for Firefox, for my Firefox web browser. And now when I go into YouTube videos, I'm not getting a commercial every 5 minutes. I watch the video start to finish, no ads.
Yeah, those are called extensions. Like I said, I've been using DuckDuckGo. It's a browser. It's also a search engine like Google. But I've been using that. They do the same thing. They have what's called a duck player. I don't know what they got about ducks, but they like ducks. And that does the same thing. It blocks out everything but the video. It even blocks out, like some videos will say, hey, we posted this down in the comments section or whatever, so it's under the video, a link to whatever they're talking about. You won't see that stuff because it even blocks that. So maybe that extension does the same thing. I'm not sure. But yeah, those ads are getting out of control, that's for sure. They do that because they want you to sign up for the monthly payment plan, and I refuse. I don't have any reason to do that, so I'm not going to. At least not yet.
Well, I know that's why they're doing it. I refuse to. I don't know. I'm not sure if it's because I'm running Linux or not here, but I can search with DuckDuckGo. It's my main search engine, but I can't get their browser. I don't know if maybe they don't have it for Linux and Windows only or what.
Yeah, go ahead, Bill.
Anything. Yeah, I'm not sure that that's available in Linux. I run Linux also. There are things that do not appear in the Linux footprint yet that may happen. I like Vivaldi for the browser. There's pluses and minuses to it. It's got email integrated in the browser. It does a lot of things. Blocking with some of the add-on ad blockers, it works for a while with YouTube. Then you get this thing advising you to go to them, and you get this pop-up box, and it says, oh, you're blocking us. This is against YouTube terms and agreement to use YouTube and turn your ad blocker off or you won't be able to see anything, and they intimidate you, which is really stupid. But, what I don't get is when they put the ad up, you get about 10 seconds of an ad, and you can click that little box in the corner, which is a pain in the foot. And you don't really, I never really know what ad is on. I click it so quick, but they're awesome. I didn't realize that the DuckDuckGo, browser, which one I think you said you're using, I didn't know that the browser blocked YouTube better.
They have, let me see if I have it. Yeah, they have what's called the Duck Player, and when you install it, and I don't know if they have a Linux version, they have a Mac version and a Windows version. I use the Mac version, but it's called the Duck Player, and it asks you if you want to use it. You don't have to use it, but it asks you if you want to, and it literally just cuts everything out but the video. So all you have on your screen is the video, so it's kind of nice. Unless you want to see the comments or see the links that they might put on there, then you got to go out of the Duck Player back into YouTube to get that stuff. But yeah, that I don't know if that's new or not. I literally just started using DuckDuckGo browser. I've been using the search engine for a long time, but the browser I just started using maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, maybe a month now.
I will have to check that out to see. That's just another one of those resources. Vivaldi has been quite good for me. It's very plain. It's not plain. I mean, you can control every single thing in Vivaldi if you want to spend hours looking at the setups you use in it. But it doesn't do any better blocking YouTube stuff than anything. That's the only downside I see. But I do run Linux. That particular one does not run in Linux either. So Linux is pretty good for a lot of stuff. It doesn't get hacked, which is really nice. So I do like it. Back to you guys, KC9TEL.
Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I've been using DuckDuckGo, the search engine, for a long time. Ever since I click on an ad and go in the like Facebook or whatever, and then all of a sudden all the ads that I just clicked on are in Facebook coming at me. And I'd had enough of Google. Google's they're a monster.
Let me see if I have it. Just looked it up. DuckDuckGo browser is on iOS, Android, Windows, and Mac. It does not say anything about Linux, so that would explain why you guys haven't seen it. Go ahead, Bill.
thanks for looking that up. I wasn't aware of that either. I know there's a lot of things that are nice with Linux. I like to you install Linux. The next thing you know, the printers that I have here are automatically loaded in. I don't have to think about it. So there's some smart things about it, but you just simply can't run anything in the world that way. You know, it is what it is. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, I got mad years ago when they quit supporting my favorite version of Windows and made you upgrade to their latest greatest for $150 or $300. And here you have Linux free, free updates, free forever. And there's so much add-ons, extensions, software programs that they're Windows knockoffs, but they're still just as good as the Windows program. And I'm quite happy with it.
Let me see if I have it. Okay, trying to prevent collisions. So, since you guys have been using Linux for a little while, I have been not on the fence. I just need to find the time. I have an old MacBook Air that won't upgrade anymore. Still works fine, but it's not as secure because it's on an old version of Mac OS. So I'm going to we'll call it upgrade. I'm going to upgrade it to Linux. I guess my only question is, will all the peripherals, like for programming radios, scanners, that kind of stuff, will that work? And the reason I ask, anybody that has a Mac newer version, any M chip starting with M1 all the way up to, I think they're up to M5 now, those, because of the new chip, will not run any of those peripherals, ham radio related mainly, because that's what I deal with, obviously. So I can't program my scanner, I can't program an HT, I can't do any of that with a Mac computer that's new. This MacBook Air that's old has an Intel chip in it, so I used to be able to do that. So my question to you, and I'll go to Bill first, and then Mike, you can chime in after Bill. So that's my question. Will I be able to use Linux to do HT programming, scanner programming, software updates, things like that? Over to you, Bill. AC9HL.
There's a couple things out there I've seen. I don't use them, but I don't know what availability there is for Linux yet. It's becoming bigger. I know that there's one of the programming softwares, and I'm not sure if it was an ICOM or a Kenwood radio, was available on Linux. I've seen it one time, and I've not been able to search it down since, so I don't know the status of that, but I'm not sure in Linux you can do it. Mac computers in general use a derivative of Linux, but it's obviously not Linux, but the commands sort of go in the Linux frame. But the new Apple chip, the M-series, because of the way it's written, anything that you could run in a AMD processor or an Intel processor will not work on that chip. And I don't know, Apple just likes to keep you in your back pocket and make you spend more money for their machines. And it's just one of those things. But go ahead, Mike.
KI9E, N9OKE, out there, Jim. I believe it was Jim that just converted a MacBook to Ubuntu. He used the Mint version or the flavor. He used Linux Mint and brought his old laptop back to life again. But I don't know what programs he's using with it, though.
Okay. Yeah, I'll have to pick his brain next time I talk to him. I'm going to do it either way, and then I'll figure out what will and what won't work.
I know there's a lot of Windows programs like WSJTX, all that'll work. But with me having a Flex radio, I don't use any of that because it has its own built-in FT8 and all that stuff in the software that I purchased to use the Flex radio. Because like Bill said, they charge you for everything with a Mac, so... but it's a one-time fee. I never have to pay for it again, and it works on as many Macs as I want, so it kind of maybe pays for itself, I guess. But because I think the Windows version for Flex Radio doesn't do FT8. You got to use WSJTX or things like that. Now, I'm sure there's stuff I'm missing out on that WSJTX can do and other add-ons and whatnot, but I'm satisfied with what I got. But I want to use that Linux. That MacBook Air I have is very, very small. Perfect for logging, POTA logging. So I know to do that with Linux. But the main thing I want, I do have a Windows computer, but it's out in my garage. So if it's cold out there, I got to turn the heater on, you know. And if it's super hot, I don't want to be out there sweating. Of course, I turn a fan on. But anyway, I want to be able to program on the go if I want, or just sit on my recliner and program. That would be nice. And since I have that computer and had it for years, I'm going to see if I could do that. Go ahead, Bill.
I would think you should be able to do that without an issue. My son knows more about Mac than I do. I had a Mac Mini, and I couldn't get it to do very much. I don't understand Mac very well. I do and I don't. I've used them. We use one at church, and I get by using it there. But he took the Mac Mini, and I just said, here, if you want to take it. It was useless to me at that point. And he actually pulled the hard drive. I took it to Apple. They couldn't reload their own operating system. They said, oh, it's a non-Mac drive. We can't touch it. And he said, oh, that's baloney. He put a different drive in, and he found everything on the web. He's got it working on an OS that wasn't designed to work on it now, and all this stuff. So, you know, somebody that understands that, they do very well with it. But Mac stuff, I like the method that they're reasonably secure. I like the fact it's more Linux-based than anything. And I like the fact that there's so much available in Linux. You have the programs that you can run Windows-type programs, some of them under the Linux environment, using software. So yeah, all these things work very well, and Linux, the best thing about it is free, obviously. They don't force you to get new software when they upgrade. They just keep it going, unlike Microsoft, which I hear is doing very poorly right now financially and everything, and they're doing a sort of about-face in some of the Windows 11 stuff, so I've heard still about, they're already thinking about 12. Mike.
I forgot now which Windows brand I really liked. It was Windows 90 or what it was, but, oh man, that was my favorite operating system, and when they all of a sudden they took and quit supporting it and was pushing hard and heavy on, I think it was Windows ME or something like that that came out next. I ended up with that stupid thing, but eventually I went to Linux over it, and all I do is download the latest version, and that's supported for X amount of years, and then they come out with another free version, and there's so many open source programs out there that are identical to Windows programs that you can use. They have a LibreOffice. LibreOffice is just as good as Microsoft Office. It's a big full-featured office, and it's free. It just comes right with it. N9OKA.
Yeah, I've used Libre on the Mac, actually.
You're right. It's got a lot. It looks different because I'm used to using it at work, Microsoft Excel. Basically, if you don't like Google, you shouldn't like Windows because Google is not very secure. Shares all your stuff. Well, so does Windows. So, not a huge fan of Windows. I've hated Windows for a long, long time. That's why I went Apple. Linux was never on my radar until the last couple years, I would say. And now that I have a computer that was given back to me because I gave it to my daughter to use, she stopped using it, said, here, take it back. So I did and tried to upgrade it to the newest version of Mac OS, and it won't let me because it's just too old, too slow. So it is time for Linux. I'm going to go down that path and probably never go back, never look back either. So, but you're right, Bill. Mac and Linux, from what I can tell, are very, very similar. So I should have a fairly easy time. Obviously, I'm not as fluent as your son sounds to be, but I can definitely fumble my way through with a couple YouTube videos and enough time given. That's how I did my All-Star notes. Just took the time. Of course, I was out of work for 6 or 8 weeks, I can't remember what it was, and I had plenty of time to get that stuff done, but I might go a couple more go-arounds, and I'll probably get going. There was, I wanted to ask, mainly Mike or Bill, if you happen to have been listening before the net, I set up a timer that was supposed to say the LPC ARC information net will start in 10 minutes, and then another timer, LPC ARC information net starts in 5 minutes. Do either of you know if that happened? Because I missed it both times. I don't know how I did that, but I did. Go ahead, Bill. AC9HL.
Well, to answer your question, no, I did not hear that prior to that. I didn't get up here in time for that. So I don't know if that happened. And as far as the stuff my son does, yeah, he does both. He spends a lot of time, like all of us, at YouTube University, and he's not afraid to tear into something, and he's got my goal. I work for myself. I've done it for years. I'm the only one left that does what I do, and I enjoy what I do, and he's the same kind of person that goes out and says, yeah, I can do this. Open your mouth, insert foot, and say I can do it, and then figure out how. That's one of those trademarks, I guess, here. But he found most of the stuff out from watching YouTube and searching around with Google and whatever else he uses for browsers. So go ahead, Mike, and answer that question because I didn't hear it before net. KC9TEL.
Well, you called for me right when I turned my radio on. That, you know, and I even missed the repeater saying it was 7 o'clock, so I missed all that. I was doing dishes out in the kitchen.
Perfect. Well, if you guys humor me, well, I'll wait till the next go around because I'm on the wrong node right now. Unless I got it right. Oh, no, here it is. Humor me for a second. I'm going to do a test and see if it plays.
CMN Network.
I thought that was over. KC9TW.
They're supposed to play. I just don't know if I have the time and day set correctly. So maybe it'll play tomorrow at 6:50 or 6:55, so we'll see. Central time, that is. Go ahead, Bill.
The good thing about it does work. You know, I don't know if it went off before or after, but it definitely sounded fine. So, and somebody else come in and double with you. The other station that was in there during that, go ahead, KC9TEL.
I didn't think you talked on the radio anymore. KC9CWX.
Out here.
I haven't heard you in quite a while, sir. Good to hear you.
Good to hear you, too. I don't get on this one very often. I'm usually not even on anything local with the driving all over I do. You know, I don't sit around very much. Yeah, well, you know, you switch jobs and don't get over that area anymore, and I don't talk on those repeaters over that way that much anymore. That's kind of sad. I know, and I remember the conversation you and I had one time on that 3-3. You were pulling in your driveway in Michigan City, and I was 15 miles inside the state of Ohio, and we communicated well over 100 miles on that one, and that was really pretty awesome. Yeah, that was pretty neat, and kind of missed those days back when we were testing that repeater before it became a repeater. That was a lot of fun, too. It was. I remember the first call I made with that antenna with my THF-6 Kenwood, and I hit a repeater in Kokomo on 50 milliwatts because that's what that does at low power. And a guy came back and he asked me what I'm running, and I said THF-6 at 50 milliwatts in Mishawaka. And of course, his comment was, no, you're not. I mean, seriously, tell me where you are. And when I told him we're up at 650 feet on instant 5/8 HELAC, he understood the answer. That's nice to know. Hey, Kurt, I would definitely recommend Linux Mint if you're going to try Linux.
Okay, did you hear me ask the question, what kind of peripherals work with, if that's the right terminology it should be, work with Linux? I'm mainly looking to be able to program, you know, like that DMR radio, my scanner, things like that, because Mac, these new M1, see the prolific 2303 driver at all. They're very, very close. They're doing every driver around 2303, but not 2303 for some stupid reason. I don't understand. Because I have Parallels, so I can run Windows on my Macs, or at least a couple of them. But they don't have all the drivers because they're Intel-based or x86, whatever it is, and these are ARM-based. So that's my main goal with Linux. I will use it for a logging program or logging computer out in the field and whatnot, but ultimately I'd love to be able to program with it.
I don't know what your scanner. What kind of scanner do you got?
The Uniden SDS-100.
Hey, I've not used Mac stuff. I would recommend buying a cheap couple $100 or even a $50 desktop off of eBay, then have Windows, and it just works. It, you know, something with Windows 10 I would recommend. I do notice that some of the older chipsets in the programming cables don't work with Windows 11. I ran into that when I went over there to program Mike's Anytone. Luckily, he had a new programming cable for his Anytone, and it worked just fine. Some of that stuff is becoming obsolete, but I would recommend finding something with Windows 10 on it and just run it basically for programming radio stuff. I can't say enough good things about RT Systems. I have a lot of their software, and it's just wonderful.
Yeah, and RT Systems, I have nothing against them. I got a couple of radios with that, and they do have Mac versions, which is nice. I do have a Windows computer out in the bull barn, and that's the problem. I got to go out in the bull barn to do it, which isn't the end of the world or anything, but if I'm sitting there at midnight and decide, oh, I want to program this real quick, especially that DMR radio, yeah, I'm not going to do that at midnight. Even if it's nice outside, it's not going to happen. So I'm just looking for an easier way out, but I'm still going to turn it into a Linux machine no matter what.
something off, or, you know, I got an old iMac over here that still runs pretty decent, but I had to put Linux on it to use anything because, unfortunately, I brought it home and realized, oh, I can't update it because Apple won't let me. They say it's no good anymore. And so I put Linux on it, and I use it occasionally here, but it's here. Everybody goes, oh, you finally bought a Mac. No. Well, yeah, I did buy a Mac, but I put Linux on it.
Yeah, it's just like Windows. You can't buy an old Windows computer and put Windows 11 on it, you know. Mac the same way. It has to have enough RAM. The main chip has to be strong enough to be able to run it. I tried putting Windows 10 on a computer that shouldn't have anything more than Windows 7 on it. And boy, was that a mistake. That thing was slow. It said it could do it. It was a bare minimum. And yeah, not recommended. So yeah, same situation with that, with the Macs. And that's what everybody's doing with their old Macs, is putting Linux on them. Same with their old Windows. Don't want to leave you guys out. I don't know who's next. Bill? We'll go to you. Excuse me. I'm going to go another couple more rounds probably, and then I'll be heading out.
KC9CEL. Hey, regarding computers, seriously, I picked up a computer, get online with Goodwill Industries. I'm a big advocate of the used Dell Optiplex computers. They're the kind you find at doctor's offices and commercial places. They're nice. They're Dell machines. They support the electronics. One of the Dell computers is a seventh generation processor. It's an Optiplex. i5 or i7 Intel chip. It runs Windows 11 without the Trusted Platform Module, and it runs well with it. The Optiplexes are pretty cheap. I've seen them on Amazon for $100, 90-day warranty, and the one I picked up from Goodwill, it was an older one. It doesn't run Windows 11, it runs 10. It can run Linux very nicely. I think it had 8 gig of RAM in it when I got it, and a 256 processor. I picked it up for like $35, and it was in a superb, nice condition. Now, they loaded Windows 11 there, but it wouldn't upgrade anything, and it was problematic. So I talked to the lady on the phone, and I explained, you know, it's on 11, yada, yada. And she was apologizing that it wound up there as a system that didn't support. So they made good on the machine, and I wound up buying it, but I bought the machine for like $35 online, and it was really good. So if you're looking for a common machine that's together, the Dell Optiplex, a 7050, 7040, 5050, 50, one of the others, look at those, because that's a pretty good option for it. Go ahead, Travis. I got, I think, 8 or 9 of those around the shack. Around the house, and use them for everything. Those, you know, for what they are, they work really good. And I bought some, gosh, several years ago. I went to a computer recycling place, and I picked up, I think, 4 or 5 of them for like $125. Of course, they didn't have a operating system in them, they didn't have a hard drive or any RAM. But I went and bought RAM and a hard drive and got them all going, and they work great for just ham radio stuff. Any of the software, I've had no issues with them running. Anything for ham radio stuff, they work great for that.
Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, that's a big plus. For Linux is if you have an old computer and it's limited in hard drive space, limited in memory, and they have what they call flavors or distros of Linux, and they have some you can run them off a thumb drive. I don't know how you, I'm not sure how you would keep your information stored doing it that way, but
Yeah, that's kind of my plan. That MacBook Air is collecting dust for sure. And I'm looking at that Goodwill online now. They got a bunch of Macs on there for like $50. Even a MacBook Pro, older one, of course, Intel, and 16 gig of RAM. I don't remember the other details. I moved on from that, but yeah, that's pretty cool stuff. Yeah, I need to get more. The problem is I don't have any room in the house, so it'd have to be a laptop. And I had one of those cheap laptops. And the problem I had is I was using it for a WireZX node, so it was plugged in all the time. They don't like that. That battery expanded to the point that some of the keys stopped working, and I was afraid it was going to blow up in my face one day, so it met its maker. So it was a cheap laptop. I think I paid $60 for it, brand new, made out of plastic. But it worked for the time that I had it. So if it wasn't for that battery, I'd probably still have it. But as far as I could tell, I couldn't get a battery for it. I didn't search that hard either, so. This will be my last go-around, so go ahead, Bill, AC9HO.
AC9TEL. Yeah, the Mac, some of the MacBook machines, we have one at church, the battery keeps expanding on it, and I begged them, they got to get rid of it. Now, they're not keeping it plugged in, but it's swelled enough that it's rocking back and forth on the swelled battery. And I'm just waiting someday to come in and find a corner of that building gone where my soundboard is and everything else. But, you know, that's not my wheelhouse to take care of. But, yeah, MacBooks, they're really good that way. I mean, reliability-wise. The Dell Optiplex machine, you know, I've got five of them here. One is going out to a lady that needs one where my brother's apartment is, and you know, the others were here for a project I had, but I need them to be on Windows 11. I got them when 10 was out before 11 got released, and now 11's out, and, you know, they're going to become Linux machines and hopefully recover out of them. So, you know, one of those things. Good talking to you, Kurt, and I know you'll be gone soon, but KC9TL, go ahead, Travis.
I've taken one Windows 10 machine that was obsolete by Windows and did the workaround and got it running Windows 11. Now, granted, it's not the fastest thing since I've done that, but it does work. It did slow it down quite a bit, but it does work. You can put Windows 11 on a machine that doesn't have the hardware for it. Just putting that out there. Anyways, gentlemen, I looked at the clock and noticed it's way past bedtime. So I'm going to say 73s and bug out myself. Catch you guys tomorrow. KC9TWX, clear 73s.
Hey, Travis, are you going to be busy Saturday?
What's going on Saturday?
That antenna up there, my 11 meter, is leaning at 2 o'clock up there. I need it straightened up.
Let's see what the weather does then, but yeah, I might be able to stop by for a little bit and see if I can get it back together again.
I went and looked at it. It's on that mounting bracket that I bought from you.
Yeah, it looks like one of the bolts came out. I drove by it beginning of the week, and it looks like one of the bolts came out, and I was in fear of that because that wood up there was kind of rotted, so I think that's what happened. And it's still connected up there, and that's what's holding it up there, but the other one come out of the hole, so we'll have to figure something out with that. I'll have to see what I can do.
I really would appreciate it. Would you need help? I can try and get somebody else, too.
I don't know. I got to see what we're getting into before we try to do anything. Yeah, I don't know. I got to see what the weather's going to do and see what we got planned.
in for Saturday. I don't know. And her dad's back in the hospital again, so I know she went up there today. Hopefully he's out here at the end of the week, but we don't know.
Okay. All right. Well, I just wondered how things are looking for you there. So, 7-3s, we'll catch you tomorrow or next time. KC9TWX and 9OKA.
We're thinking about you, Mike. We'll try to get over there Saturday. We'll see what happens. KC9TWX, be clear. 7-3, to you, Travis. Help yourself. Good evening, and don't talk to you before. I'll see you up at the Ham Fest up there for you guys. Yes, you will. You'll see my other half at the door, and I'll probably be at the door, too. So, you'll see us there. 7-3, gentlemen. We'll catch you guys tomorrow. KC9TWX, clear. Fantastic. Bring some slicks up from the Ham Fest here. 7-3, KC9TEL.
Let me see if I have it. All right, Travis, 7-3. Have a good one. If we don't talk to you before the Ham Fest, we'll definitely talk to you then. So, all right, gentlemen, Bill and Mike, I'm going to head out of here, and you guys have a great evening. It's been nice chatting with you. Learned a little bit about Linux. That's always nice. I'll let you know how that project goes whenever. It'll probably be after the Ham Fest, unless I decide to dive into it this weekend. We'll see. So, won't take me long once I get started. All right, but we're going to get out of here. We'll say 7-3 to both of you. Have a good one. KC9TEL and 9OKA, this is AC9HO. I'll be clear on your guys' final. Go ahead, Mike.
Okay, Kurt, I'll tell you what I told Jim before he started his little adventure into it, and that's very user-friendly. And when you go to load it up, you don't have to install it. You can just run it on your computer and see if you would like it. Leave it on there for a few days and run it before you actually install it. They also give you the option on the install to partition the drive and install, keep Windows, and also install Linux on it too then. So you have both operating systems on the computer, but that's just some of the early features of it when you first plug it in and get started with it. So, but it's really user friendly. It is. So I don't hesitate recommending it to anybody. So we'll catch you later, Kurt. AC9HO and 9OKA, clear.
7-3 and Kurt, and he's right. It takes a long time to load it from a USB drive, but it works fine from that drive. And you can parallel it with Windows, so you can work either one of the drives. Doing it that way, it'll default to Linux first. You have to watch the initial screen to switch back to Windows, but you can also do it there. Kurt, 7-3, we'll chat again, KC9TEL.
All right, guys. Thanks for the info. We'll talk to you later. 7-3, AC9HO.
I'm going to bail out of here, too. I got another project I got to go work on. So, hey, good hearing you out there. Hope to hear you out there again. And I'll try and monitor this repeater a little bit more.
Well, I didn't catch your first name. This is N9OKA, Mike. And it was good talking to you, KC9TEL. I didn't catch your first name there, but 7-3's to you. We'll catch you out here again sometime.
My first name is Bill, Bravo, India, Lima, Lima.
Okay, Bill, I got you logged down here. So, again, 7-3's. We'll catch you again sometime. N9OKA, clear.
9OKA, KC9TEL. Yep, 7-3 to you. Having yourself a great evening. KC9TEL, QRT, I think it is.
This is the CMN Network, MI3. W9DRG. W9DRG, that's HD on the ground. TC90TF, mobile portable, Michigan City.
CMN Network, 220.
Nothing heard from W9DRG. This is TC90TF, portable, in the mobile. Michigan City, 3 here.